Hey, thanks for checking out the Gigantic Adventures of Jeff and Simon, a family-friendly actual play podcast. Last time, Jeff and Simon learned that they are part of something much greater than they first realized. Their journey is undeniably linked to a dark event that happened in the realm of nature hundreds of years ago. Before continuing on their increasingly important quest, they decided to relax while they still had the chance. Jeff had some fun with a sparrow, and Simon learned what he could about their place in this strange world. Okay, you go back to the tavern, a bit wobbly legged. Simon, what's your next move?
What's the time of day?
It was morning when you were examining the bear site and then having the fight with the foxes. But I'd imagine you probably spent a fair few hours studying, so maybe early afternoon.
I would probably just try and find somewhere to, like, rest up, assuming that we're going to be staying the night here before we leave, you know?
Yeah, well, you stayed the night before in the tavern.
So. Yeah. So, did we pay for two nights, or...?
They said you didn't have to pay, because you had just arrived in town and saved them from a bear.
Okay. So I go back to the tavern, I guess. I probably bump up to Jeff, then.
Yep, Jeff's in the common room.
Feet back up on a table, regaling everybody about the story that I saved the sparrow from plummeting to a certain death by my deft hands and quick wit.
I love how you turn every situation into you being a hero.
To which Simon just pops his head into the room and quickly says, "Birds can fly, you know. Don't need you. Just a reminder." And then wanders up to the room.
Jeff Ray, rolling his eyes sardonically, leans back to one of his, I assume, adoring crowd and says, "Yes, but sometimes an expert has to take the controls, you know."
Yeah, there's a little lizard who's standing like right next to you. Is like, "Yeah, whatever you say." Yeah. Then a big tongue. Yeah, he's a little gecko. His tongue sticks out and cleans his eyeballs.
Gross.
Then, like, you can just see the thought process his mind. Should I do it to that mouse?
So Simon wanders upstairs and puts the little, like, suit thing that he has, this seed thing that's, like, talking to him or whatever, on the table and just kind of looks at it for a second. Yeah.
Its LED eyes look back at you.
Yeah. And wants to try and say, like, to it, like, "My name is Simon. I want to meet the creator. What is Wither?" Like, to try and get it to talk to him, you know, like, it's trying to copy its lingo to see if that helps. Yeah.
"My name is Cash. The creator wants to meet you. Wither is death."
Interesting. Simon's just kind of, what else would I add? You know, that's what Simon's going to spend the afternoon doing.
There's no species better equipped to eyeball something
than a pigeon. Yeah. Simon's just going to be eyeballing this thing and just listening to it and reading, like, because he's taken notes from the library books, so he's got, like, I don't know how. He's a pigeon. He has a pen in his claw.
In disbelief.
He could dip his beak in the ink.
You know what? No, he's actually very capable of wrapping the end of his wing around a pen, and he kind of holds it, like, if you think of how a fist would kind of hold a pen, like, you know, like, real meaty kind of in the end of it, and he writes like that with his wing.
He's made of quills.
Yeah, he does that. But anyway, so he's written himself some notes from the library books, and he's, like, looking at the, you know, looking at the symbols on the outside and comparing it to the little doodles he did of the books and, like, that kind of stuff. Trying to just spend the afternoon seeing if we can piece any extra information together.
Okay, cool. I mean, you can make a diamond flip if you want to see how that goes, or we can just assume that
I mean, from your notes, you can't learn any more than you already wrote down, but you can sort of.
That's what I mean. I assume I can't really learn more as such, but it makes sense for Simon to be trying because he's not going to go anywhere and do anything right now. So he'd probably still be trying to figure out why the hell he's here, why he's wearing this armor, why his armor matches that. He's confused, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Cool. So, I mean, that could be you for the rest of the day. Jeff, do you want to do anything to close out that day?
I think just a full meal and then off to a very well-deserved rest.
Okay.
Cool. He does sort of nod and wink and sort of mutter some things to the lizard until he gets a round of applause as he goes up the stairs.
A round of applause of one.
Yeah, just thank you. Thank you.
He goes, yay! I'll see you in the morning.
Just
slap, 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 slap.
He's just hitting his hands with his tongue.
That's how lizards clap in this world. I like it. Yeah. If there's a whole lizards watching a show, it's actually quite disgusting. You don't want them to clap. Cool. Yeah. So you guys, that's the end of that day. You wake up in the morning and the first thing you notice when you come down or when you look out your window, whichever you do first, that people are hustling and bustling everywhere. And there's a disproportionate amount of bird citizens outside. You also see all the usual, the mice and the tortoises and lizards and rats and things and hedgehogs as well. But yeah, lots and lots of birds.
Yeah, someone would be interested in that because, like, birds' migration patterns, have they just arrived from somewhere or, like, what's happening? You know, so he would want to go out and find out what's going on.
Yeah, they're here for the 2019 dive bombing championships.
Yeah, like, who knows, you know? Or have they been driven out of the forest by something? You know, like, he would want to know.
Yep.
Jeff Ray sees a crowd and wanders out so that they may admire him.
Oh, of course.
Okay, cool. So, you know the drill. Let me know how the admiration goes.
Well, I assume they don't know who we are.
Well, are you going to try and put on a show to make them know who you are?
Yeah, I mean, Simon's not putting on a show. He's slipping out of the doorway and he's just sort of asking people nearby, oh, hello, my name's Simon. Are you in town? Are you from town? Like, that's what
At the top of the stairs, Jeffrey sort of spreads his arms. He's under the assumption that everybody's heard how great he is and that this is just them calling their friends. So he sort of steps out humbly and sort of raises his arms and, you shouldn't. No, thank you. Come on, please. Please, everybody. And gets probably quite some distance before he realises that the applause is in his head and everybody hasn't sort of caught on yet.
You don't want to flip a heart to see if anyone.
Well, you would know if they did.
Okay. Yeah, they don't know who you are. But like, I mean, Jeff Ray is the kind of person who would who would walk in front of a crowd and just assume they did and try and make them applaud regardless.
Yeah. Yeah. They just sees a crowd, assumes it's for him.
Yeah. So it's all outside. So people in the common room are like only in to get like a drink or whatever and rush back out. Clearly whatever's happening outside is the big business. Simon, you liaise with a couple of people low key outside the tavern.
Yeah.
And using the information you get,
got like a 12 if that helps. But.
Yep. Okay. The information that you get from a few people that you talk to is that Mayor Carey sent out a few people during the day yesterday, or sent out a few birds to basically gather as many flyers as possible, because they're going to start spreading the word of what they know about this wither and basically trying to prepare the Great Wood for things to get worse.
Mayor Carey, she's a thinker. That's some good stuff.
So, Jeff, do you come out of the tavern?
Yes. Yes. Okay. So start circulating generally with people trying to figure out what's going on.
Yep. So I mean,
Simon would sidle back up to Jeff and just sort of say, oh, it looks like Mayor Carey's sorted out some extra help.
Oh, very good. Who's packing Jeffrey, eh? and start, and sort of slaps the bonnet of a large bird.
What do you do? Who are you? Who are you, mouse, to touch me?
Good day, Jeffrey Monclair. And dips very low and doffs his hat.
I'm a magnificent owl. If this were the wilds of the Great Wood, I might snap you up.
Well, wouldn't that be a battle to see, my lord? Have at you. And continues on to the next one.
The next one's a Kia.
What are you trying to do?
Oh, I'm just kicking tires, seeing what's going on.
Hey, man, what's going on?
Such a Kia.
Hey, boo, you gotta eat that rubber?
Hey, little mouse. Are you from this town? Like, a whole lot of us birds just got asked to come here and you know, so we could help spread some stories about something. I don't know, but everyone came, so I came too.
Only just got here, good lad. Only just got here. Not quite the welcome we wanted. Did you hear anything about it? Quite the kerfuffle? A particular mouse, perhaps, mentioned?
I heard there's been a problem in this town. Something about mice who steal baby hedgehogs or something. I don't know.
Oh, no. It's a good sir. Oh, you hush your beautiful beak. You there. No. Oh, you just... Don't you dare say another word, sir. Don't you say another word. Anyway, I'll be seeing you later on. And I'm Jeff Rachel. I'll just... walks off waggling his finger.
Oh, that's a weird little dude.
Oh, no. That's too doo-doo.
Simon's looking for Carrie.
Yeah, so they're basically out, what the scene is out in the street in sort of like a big common area between all the various buildings in town.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just filled with, like, to the brim, like a mosh pit of birds with, like, smaller creatures moving in and out between them. But you can easily see Mayor Carrie as being a badger, standing a little bit taller than all the rest.
Mm. I wander over to Mayor Carrie.
Simon, hi! Hello, good morning! Did you have a good rest? Are you all rested up for your journey?
Oh, yes, thank you very much. What? A lot of help arriving. I hear you're behind this?
I can't take all of the credit. A lot of the town got together just sort of informally and in the afternoon made a decision that since we know quite a lot, or more than we did the day before, about this withered business and the feral animals, we have a responsibility to let the rest of the Great Wood know what we know. So everyone sent out messengers to their friends and families and got as many flyers as we could, and I mean, thanks to you, I suppose, we've got what it takes to prepare everyone. The whole Great Wood is going to be better off if they learn how to defend themselves.
Yes, I agree. I was only coming over to see if I could be of any help before we leave. I did a bit of research last night. Did Woody fill you in on what we learned?
He gave me some of the information, but not a lot. I was quite busy liaising with all the flyers, but he said you learned something about sprites and that the Great Wood used to be a lot larger than it is today.
Mm, yes, absolutely. And that there's a weird chasm off to the east that used to bring life, but now has stopped. And death is approaching from all areas, and those two things seem linked, and then all the stories. I'm not sure how true it all is, but it all seems worth investigating, doesn't it? And is...
Oh, you should definitely investigate a chasm, especially if it's near the Great Chasm.
Sorry, I know, I can't speak.
Brain was ringing, and I saw Brad look at me, and I looked at Brad, and I thought, one of us is going to be a real... real negative Nancy, and I'm excited for it to be me, but Brad got there first.
Yeah, that is totally fine. You can hassle my speak.
But yes, some of the more elite of these flyers, they're actually going to fly over towards the Great Chasm to try and see if they can find anything and maybe fly down into it, which I wouldn't advise it, but some of the braver ones have been into this. Have you heard of dive bombing? It's the latest craze with the flyers.
Oh, yes, I do that Quite often accidentally when things happen, like when you're being chased by eagles, as it turns out.
Right. I have a fear that some of them might endanger themselves doing that over the Great Chasm. I've advised against it, but they, you know, flies don't really listen to us forest floor folk.
No. We try not to. And Simon's just like, it makes sense. Life is better in the sky.
if we need any assistance from you, definitely not. Would you like a few flyers to join you in your journey north, at least towards Edge, if not further over the desert?
I don't know, DM. Do you want that? NPCs to deal with?
She's asking you a question. Okay. Would you like an army? Would you like an army? Or to just, you tell me. You tell me.
I think he was. He points directly in the face of the very big owl and says, "Yes, specifically that one."
You want Frederick to join you?
Oh yes,
across the desert.
Very much so.
If you insist, he's a bit of a prickly old fellow, but
all good. I'm sure we shall be fast friends.
Does
a little wave.
Ask if, and Simon sighs, and he's like, "We have no idea what we're getting ourselves in for. But we do know that we're flying into great danger, so they must be okay with putting themselves at that risk."
Well, they can at least fly you to Wood's Edge and a little bit over the desert. I mean, flyers do that from time to time when they travel to Bilg. Not a lot, especially not so much lately with the eagles having turned on us. The skies aren't particularly safe anymore, but...
I was going to mention that. I'm glad you're aware.
The eagle threat shouldn't be too much of an issue... unless they're provoked by something.
All of my research says that the eagles used to be guardians and are now not. So I would be careful with that. I don't believe I would trust any eagle. And maybe it would pay to tell your flyers that.
Okay, so you'd like the army or you wouldn't like the army?
I mean, an escort might not be a bad idea. It would definitely keep us on track, too. We're often getting lost.
Jeffrey is still waving and smiling hugely at the owl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it would be better to leave the army here to protect the people while we go investigate the unknown.
Okay, and you're still planning on going to Mount Darkleaf?
Yes. We must. And
okay.
And he gestures to the rugby ball thing that's kind of poking out of his satchel and is like, "His name is Cash, and we must meet the creator."
The Kia yells across the crowd, "Oh, is that a rugby ball? Chuck it here, bro."
"Down, boy. I hear only Kiwis are any good at rugby."
Wow. "My name is Cash."
Yeah, so genuinely, I think the army stays here, does what it's going to do, warn the world as best they can, and protect the villagers. And we just take Frederick with us. Because Jeffrey Moncler is very keen to have Frederick with us.
Oh, no, it was mostly just as a big F you for that guy.
I know, I'm very aware, but Simon's not going to fight that either. And actually, Simon wouldn't mind a guide to the edge of the forest to at least get us to the right point to cross the desert. Do you know what I mean?
An owl's not bad. They're pretty big birds.
Yeah. So, if that could happen, that would be good. Thank you. DM.
Okay. Yep. Okay, so it gets arranged between you two and Kerry that the army, which would arguably be easier for me to roleplay than a single NPC, but thank you for that.
It doesn't make sense for us to take an army to an unknown, kind of thing.
It does.
Well, no, and deprive the village, which needs it, from defending themselves from rampaging bears, that kind of thing. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, fair enough. So, you're going to take Frederick the owl with you. Do you do anything else in the town before you head off?
Loving new coat.
Yeah. Oh, yep, that's true. I forgot all about that little subplot. So, Carrie says, And Jeff Array, we had some people fly to a nearby town called Lazy Bend, where they do have a tailor.
Details, my good madam, details. Where is it?
It should be. And she looks around the crowd. Hang on a moment. There. And she points like at a distance, like on the far end of the bird crowd. There's a rat jumping up and down, waving a coat.
A rat.
It's me over here. I'm waving a coat.
How do you feel about rats as a mouse?
Fine in their place.
Okay.
The rat disappears from view, and you can guess they're probably weaving in and out of bird legs to get to you. This rat pops up right in front of you and goes, "Hey, here's your coat."
Jeffrey holds his arms out expectantly.
Oh, you want me to dress you?
Jeffrey says nothing.
Mayor, is this the protocol? I don't really know how to deal with clothes.
Jeffrey coughs.
Just do it, Samantha. It's fine.
Samantha.
He'll be off in a minute.
I feel so bad for Samantha. She's having a tough day.
Fine. She slots the coat onto you, and it feels a lot like your old one, but it's in much better nick. And it's not leather, but you don't know what it is. It's a material you've not felt before.
Well, it's not likely to be leather, is it? They're not going to put dead animals onto themselves.
There's a lot of bear going around.
It could be fox fur.
Didn't we roll and decide that we didn't dress ourselves in dead animals?
In the skin of other animals?
Pretty sure we decided that a few sessions ago.
Yeah.
Let's call it woven moss or something.
Yeah. I like that.
I would like for it to be blue, and I would like for it to have buttons.
Okay. Write that down on your sheet. It's blue or on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
With
I was like laughing at both of those suggestions. He's at work and he's looking at his character sheet on his computer. Both of those things are not gonna happen.
So his work doesn't have paper, it's completely paperless.
No, but he won't take it home. He'll leave it there.
He doesn't need it at home, he plays on his computer at work.
Hey Brad, just do a Google Drive.
Woven moss is the name of the material, and it's blue colour with what kind of buttons?
Surely magpies and things like that would be collecting shiny things.
Shell. They should be shell.
Or something, yeah.
Power shell buttons.
Yes. There you go. Yeah. Like big ones on the cuffs and more than you need.
Is it double-breasted
like a sea captain's
coat?
A sea captain's coat.
Yeah, it's fully like double breast buttons.
Mm. And Jeffrey has sewn up one side of his wide hat so that it's up on one side and it's round on the other.
Oh my god.
Nice.
And
Simon plucks a feather out of himself and puts it firmly into Jeffrey's hat.
Jeffrey now has four feathers in his hat, which is more feathers than usual, but it's happening. They're also probably gigantic compared to him because he's a mouse.
Yeah. Yeah, that feather.
Simon did try and pluck one of his small ones, his little baby feathers out. You know how you get baby hair out?
A little flooper.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
He has it at the front, like, you know those German hats? That have like the little.
Yes. Mm. Mm-hmm. They look like trilbies, but with the. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The little floof of feather or something.
This is what people tune into the Gigantic Adventures of Jeff and Simon for.
Costume.
Mouse fashion.
A deep dive about Bavarian fashion.
Yeah.
For mice. Carrie says, "Well, you've got your coat. Frederick is ready to join you, as far as I know. If there's anything else you need, then get it now, because I think, you know, now's the best time to make use of the daylight and travel as far as you can."
"Oh, no, I think we've got quite enough. I was already given the provisions from the tavern. Thank you." He pats his satchel.
If you make haste, you should reach Wood's End before sundown. And then it's the desert after that.
All right. Jeffrey, I believe this would be the moment for a scene. Hop on.
Jeffrey takes his old coat, which is crumpled on the ground, dusts it off carefully, and hands it in a fatherly way to what looks like a teenage hedgehog, and chucks him on the chin, and then gives a big tally-ho and runs up the back of the owl.
As you run towards Frederick the owl, you hear this voice. This
I love that you
voice.
Run to the one that doesn't have a saddle, but sure. Because Simon's literally wearing a saddle for you to ride.
I think that number one, point proving with this large owl is one thing, but also you're carrying a lot of stuff.
Yeah, food and some ball bearings, I think. Is it my imagination mismemory, but didn't Jeffrey use some of my ball bearings out of my satchel?
You did in the fight with the bear, but for game mechanics sake, you've just got them back.
Okay, cool. All right.
So you hand your coat to this teenage hedgehog and then turn and go towards Frederick the owl, and behind you you hear this the hedgehog mother's voice yell, "Philip, you did not just accept a gift from that mouse."
Amazing.
and Frederick sees you approach. He goes, I was just told I have to travel north with you. Oh dear.
And as Jeffrey starts scampering up Frederick, I go, "Oh, he itches a little, but you'll get used to it." And then I slap up into the air. Take off right where we are.
Jeffrey nestles in against the sort of on the neck area, shoulders of the owl, and just whispers to him, "Whenever you are, my good man."
Well, I'm not looking forward to this, but I did volunteer to help, so I guess that's what I have to do.
So as Simon's flapping up into the air, he's like, "Goodbye, Thorndale. Goodbye, Mercury. Goodbye, Woody." Like, making a big flapping scene. Imagine there's dust going everywhere into, like, people's mouths.
A helicopter taking off.
Yeah, like, that's kind of how I view it. Like, he's just making this and all this, like, dust is flying up. He thinks it's really poetic and romantic and everybody's just being pelted in the face.
I like it. Jeff, you and Frederick, do you take to the skies? I'll let you basically control him, except roleplay.
Jeffrey sort of makes himself ready in a almost a sprinter's position on the back of this owl, leans back and blows a kiss to the mother hedgehog, and then tucks his heels, and they shoot off into the sky.
Yeah, she shakes her fist in a rude gesture as you take to the sky on Frederick the owl. Cool. You head due north, basically, for the rest of the day, and as the sun goes down, or starts to go down, you can see there is quite a large town, much larger than the towns you've been in, and you can guess this is probably Wood's Edge, because it's right on the edge of the Great Wood. Immediately beyond it is just nothingness for ages, just this huge, giant, stony desert that seems to have no end. And the sun is going down over the horizon. As you approach Wood's Edge, at the edge of the wood,
mm-hmm.
And that's where we'll end it for now.
Woo!
Makes sense.
Cool episode.
I feel like we didn't really do a lot. More gigantic adventures coming soon when Jeff and Simon return.
The Gigantic Adventures of Jeff and Simon uses the Suited RPG system by Escapebox Games. If you want to learn more about Suited or play it for yourself, head to escapeboxgames.com. We are a proud member of the Podicon Go network, family-friendly shows that are fun for everyone. Visit Podicon Go to learn more about this and other fantastic podcasts.